your name, Jesus. Amen, amen. It's good to be in His presence, to feel His Spirit here today. Amen. I'm grateful for the opportunity to come to the house of the Lord. Amen, amen. To feel His presence, to know that He is near. Man, the Bible tells us that He's as close as the mention of His name. Amen, amen. Why don't we just lift our hands to Him one more time here today? Why don't we just love Him together? I love You, Jesus. Lord, I appreciate You. Thank You for Your presence, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness and mercy today. God, You are a faithful God. Oh, You're a faithful God today. You're a holy God. There is none like You, Jesus. We honor You. We glorify You today, Father. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles with me, turn with me this morning to the book of John, chapter number 6. Amen. While you're turning there, man, I do want to say I'm grateful to be here for the invitation to come. Amen. In the absence of your good pastor and his wife, amen, I give honor to your pastor and his wife and his family and to this church. Amen. I salute you today in Jesus' name. Amen. The work of God is a high calling. I'm thankful for the work of God, thankful for a church, for a man of God in this field of labor. Amen. You ought to pray every day for your pastor and lift him up. Amen. Amen. It is a heavy work, but it's a high calling. Amen. I've heard it said, my pastor is frequently saying, I wouldn't step down from being a pastor to be the president of the United States, because it would be a step down. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for the calling of the Lord. It's a high calling. You and I, it doesn't matter if you have a title. It doesn't matter what you do. You're still called of God to be a witness, to do whatever you can do, whatever your hand findeth to do it with all of your heart. Amen. We all have a calling of God upon our lives. Amen. Amen. I'm grateful for the presence of the Lord here today. I do give honor to my pastor, Elder Riley. Man, I love him and appreciate him so much today. Amen. John chapter 6, begin reading at verse number 5 down through verse number 9. Amen. Amen. John chapter 6, verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, or to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Verse number 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? What are they among so many? Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me one more time here today? Lord, I love you and I appreciate you. Lord, I'm grateful for your presence here today, for your great mercy and your kindness, God, that you've allowed us this opportunity to come together into your house, Lord, and to feel your presence. God, to know that you are near. Surely it is the love and the mercy of God, the mercy that's new this very morning, that has brought us to your house once again. Father, I know that your word, it is anointed and it is forever settled in heaven. Father, I pray you would anoint my lips of clay today to preach your word. Oh God, to deliver what you have given to me, God. Give us the ears to hear and the heart to understand what you would say to your people today. Lord, we ask it in your precious name. We sang about it a few minutes ago, but it's the only name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus today. Amen. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated today. Amen. I want to preach for a few minutes in the form of a question. What if I give all? What if I give all? Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 18? I want to read a few more verses. You can remain seated. Luke 18, verse 15. Luke wrote, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him." They rebuked them. "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, or allow them to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verse 17, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." In living for God today, from the moment you make a move to live for God until your final breath, we all must live for God in the same manner, and that is withholding nothing, withholding nothing. When we come to God and we're seeking for the Holy Ghost, we all have to lay down what we came in the back door with. We all come in with weights, and we all come in with troubles and trials and fears and doubts, and it takes some laying it down to get the Holy Ghost, doesn't it? The ground is all level at the foot of the cross, if you will, but we have to lay things down. We have to come to repentance, and we have to let that repentance have its full work in our life. We have to be willing to lay things down that would hinder us from the Spirit of God. We have to be willing to lay aside any sin. Anything that would separate us from God is sin by definition in the Bible. Anything that would slow us down, anything that would stop us from being able to lay everything down so that His Spirit could come inside of us. That's a new creation in Christ Jesus. But for that new creation to happen, we must be willing and able to lay things down that would stop us or slow us down. In living for God, it's no different. If it took laying things down to get the Holy Ghost, if it took laying some things down to come to God and being willing to lay aside what I put value on in life, if it took me laying it down and a revaluation of what I give honor to in my life, then it takes me being willing to keep laying it down. Amen. We must realize that this concept of laying down, of putting aside things, is a never-ending process in living for God. Romans 8:32, speaking of Jesus, said, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with them also give freely of us all things? So if he gave everything, his own son, we know to be Jesus, God manifest in flesh, if he was willing to lay down, if he was willing to shed his own blood for you and I, we have to be willing to lay some things down in our life as well. He didn't spare anything. Can I tell you that the price he paid was not cheap? He did not give it just a half-hearted effort. I can tell you that being nailed to the cross, it was not a half-hearted or a half-effort type of sacrifice. We don't believe in doing things halfway, do we? Amen. Whether it's cutting the grass outside or whether it's cleaning the church, we don't believe in doing it halfway, do we? How silly would it look to roll up to church on a Sunday morning and half the grass is cut? And half of it hadn't been touched in a month. Anybody clean just half of your house? How about coming to church halfway dressed? I thank God everybody's fully dressed today. Amen. 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 We don't do it halfway, so why would we live for God in a half-hearted manner? We wouldn't dare come to this beautiful sanctuary and just vacuum half the floor, would we? No, that's not the way we live for God. And so in you and I, we have this, we have the Holy Ghost inside of us, and we are a spiritual being. And after we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, it has to be spirit. We have to be spirit filled, but we have to be spirit led. That carnal nature has to be kept under subjection. We have to be living in a physical body. We understand that, but we have to be led by the Spirit of God. And whoever wins out in your life is who you feed the most. If you feed the physical body the most, and understand I'm not talking about food here today, but if you constantly feed the carnal man, then that's who you will be. But if you feed the spiritual man, that's who you will be. But can I tell you, as you draw closer to God, you've got to be willing to lay things aside in your life, even when you have the Holy Ghost, things that you once put value on in your life. You have to be willing to lay it aside. Jesus said, if you'll draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. Amen. It's the way it works. Amen. Deuteronomy 6:5 tells us, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. It's not a half-hearted love. We know stories today of people that have come in and love God, but they never fell in love with God. There's a difference in saying, oh, I love Jesus. He's my Savior. When storms are raging, He is my shelter. Where He leads me, I will follow. I love Jesus, and He loves me. And then we walk out on a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon and live the way we want to. There's a difference in singing, I love the Lord, and I won't take it back. Oh, but when my flesh has been fed and my spiritual man has been starved all week long and all I've been doing is feeding the flesh, then I don't have the power within me because I've just been feeding the physical man. I don't have the power to lay that down again. We've got to realize today, it's not an acceptable time. There never is an acceptable time. But even now, as we see the day approaching, I believe the Lord could come at any time. Brother Worse, I don't know. I'm not here to cross swords if you believe in pre, mid, or post-trib here today. But I do believe the scripture says that no man knoweth the day nor the hour. And so whatever you believe, I believe you ought to be ready. Because when you close your eyes in death, there is no going back. You're not going to a place where a priest can pray you out of hell and into heaven. Oh, you're not going to some purgatory, some man-made decision. But when you close your eyes in death, you better be ready to go. Amen. Amen. We ought to be ready to go. Jesus said in Luke 9, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. There's nothing to go back to in the world. There's nothing worth laying down this precious life and this way of life and going back and going in another direction. We've got to serve God with a made up mind. Amen. This laying down process, it never ends in our lives. This carnal nature, amen, these works of the flesh, without constant laying down of that carnal man, they become manifest in our lives, don't they? Amen, they're there, they're under the surface, but they must be kept under subjection. It takes a constant laying down of those things, because you and I, we are but human flesh, and without a crucifying of our flesh. Paul said, I die daily without daily repentance in our lives. Then our flesh automatically without thought begins to pick up those things. And I saw it on a sign not too long ago, 7 days without prayer. It makes one weak. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha ha. God, can I tell you, 2 days without prayer makes one week. Going a day without prayer starts you on a different direction in your life. We're living in unprecedented times. We're living where things were vying for our attention and they're grabbing for us in every way. People that once were Pentecostal and apostolic in doctrine, they're going a different way. But we must hold on to the faith. We must hold fast the profession of our faith. There's coming a time. There's a falling away. People are leaving, but you and I, we must realize there is a cause. There is a purpose. I must rise to the occasion. Hallelujah. 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 Life is heavy sometimes, isn't it? Their old carnal song said, every rose has its thorn. Life is heavy. Life is heavy. Things happen in our lives. Sometimes it's not always sin, is it? The scripture says, laying aside every weight. He lists the weight first. Life is heavy sometimes. Sometimes, despite our very best efforts, we come into the house of God carrying that old suitcase of weights, things that are weighing us down, and it affects our prayer, and it affects our worship, and it affects how we hear the preaching of the Word of God. But can I tell you, it's a daily effort. It's a daily fight. I've got to lay it down. I got to get closer to God. The closer I get to God, the more willing I am to lay down of anything that would hinder me or slow me down or distance me from my Heavenly Father. Amen. 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 My flesh must never win. My flesh must never win. My flesh must never win. Oh, my pastor's grandfather. Amen. He would grab himself. He was just a southern man from South Mississippi, and he would grab himself by the back of his collar. His name was Roy. He'd look at himself in the mirror. He said, "Roy, I'll starve you to death before I let you send me to hell." It must be the attitude we have. I'm willing to lay it down. I'm willing to lay it down for the cause. Little David shows up to check on his brothers. He doesn't show up to fight, Brother Micah. He shows up with bread and cheese, and he shows up, but he sees that giant that's defying the armies of God, and he says, "Is there not a cause?" Can I tell you today that the cause is great? The harvest is great. But the laborers, they are few. Amen. The more we are willing to give up of ourselves, the more we will draw closer to God. Amen. Less of me and more of you, the old song says. Amen. Amen. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. Amen. Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas makes a grand entrance to us here on the pages of Acts chapter 4. Revival is happening. The church is newly birthed. And verse 34 says that there was none among them that lacked. And the reason why is because everyone was giving something. Everyone was giving something. Hear me today. Everyone was giving something. It's interesting to note here, as just a side note this morning, that when people start giving to God, revival is happening. When people start just giving to God, withholding nothing back, withholding nothing back, just start giving to God, revival is happening in the church. And nobody's lacking, because when we come together in one mind and in one accord, when the spirit of unity, David said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." When we come together in one mind and in one accord, the presence of the Lord starts moving. We're not looking to fill up the church. We're not looking to have 300 souls walk in. If you and I could just get on fire for God, you can't keep the souls away from coming. If you and I could get so full of the Holy Ghost that it begins to spill out in our daily lives, you can't help people from noticing, what do they have that I don't have? Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, if we are to see our city saved, if we are to see our community saved, then we've got to be willing to lay it all down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Barnabas, Lord bless you, be seated. Barnabas is here, and the Bible tells us that he is a Levite. And he was not given land all the way back to the Old Testament.
Amen. Now, it was not illegal for him to own land. It was not a sin for him to own land, but there was no allotment given for him to have land. And so for Barnabas to have land, then he must have purchased it himself. He could have possibly inherited it from someone in his family that had purchased it. But somewhere along the line, this land in Barnabas' life, it had to have been purchased. It had to have been purchased. There was money spent for this land, for this Levite to own land. Amen. And so we know the story. The revival is happening, and Barnabas, he feels that he needs to go sell his land and bring the money and give it to the apostles. Now hear me well today. I'm not preaching for you to go sell your house or your land. Amen. But I'm preaching in a concept or an idea, a line today that we need to understand. Amen. It's about being willing to lay down something. What will I give in exchange for my soul? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So Barnabas, he comes and he brings this money and he lays it at the feet of the apostles. Now, I'm not here telling you that land is a sin today, that owning land is a sin, but just stay with me for a moment. Amen. Later on in Barnabas's life, there is much for him to do. And somehow or another, in laying down this land, in laying down this prized possession that he owns, he is signifying, I'm willing to give it up. Amen. It cost me something. To lay it down means I have to give up something that I put value on in my life. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's time. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's gonna be. Can I ask you today, where is your treasure? What do you put value on in your life? What do you put the emphasis on in your life? What do you put the emphasis on in your life? Can I tell you without a doubt today that land would have hindered Barnabas from being able to fulfill the will of God in his life? It was the aspect of Barnabas's life that he needed to lay down, and in doing so, it furthered the cause of revival. We'll get there in just a moment, but in being willing to lay down this land, it enabled him to fulfill the will of God in his life. No, it wasn't a sin. No, it wasn't a sin, but it was something that would anchor him down. It would take him away from what he really needed to be doing in life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift our hands to the Lord here today? I feel His presence. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost here today. Oh God, we love you. Oh God, we honor you. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Go with me to Luke chapter 18 today. I read just a few moments ago. Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Let me try to wrap this up today. Luke 18 and 15, the Bible says, speaking of Jesus, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, and he said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily or truly I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Luke, the physician, he's writing here. And in verse number 15, this is a unique reference in your Bible. Verse 15, he uses that word infant. That's the Greek word brephos, and it means the unborn. It means the unborn. Don't hinder the unborn from coming to me. Figuratively, it can mean infant. And that's why how the King James Version transcribed it there and put infant. But the true meaning of the word is the unborn. Don't hinder the unborn from coming to me, Jesus said. Don't hinder the unborn from coming to me. I put emphasis on the babies in the kingdom of God. Jesus took it a step further. He said, in fact, if you're not willing to become as a little child, if you're not willing to put emphasis on how these babies would come to me, then you will never make it. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. Unless you're willing to receive the kingdom of heaven, that word means to take hold of or to hold. Unless you're willing to take hold of the kingdom as a little child would, then you're not going to make it. Now we've heard preached the faith as a little child. We've heard that, and I believe that. That's not a scriptural phrase, if you will, but faith as a little child, because a little child just believes what you say. I can guarantee you my son, if I tell him I'm going to take him to go get some Andy's frozen custard, we're going to have to do so. If I tell him we're going to go to Freddy's and get a cheeseburger, we're going to have to do so sooner or later, because he's going to hold me at my word. And that's how little children are. But I want to perhaps present a little bit different dimension to you today of a little child. Of a little child. Go back with me to John chapter 6, where I started my text today. John chapter 6, verse number 7. Philip answered Jesus and he said, 200 penny worth of bread, it's not sufficient for them. Not even that everyone could have just one little bite. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he said unto him, there's a lad here. He's got 5 loaves and he's got 2 little fish. Oh, but what are they among so many? Andrew, Brother Worth, he's looking just at this little basket of lunch. He sees the 5,000 adults. We know this to be the miracle of the 5,000. History will tell you that it's more likely the miracle of the 15,000 plus, because the 5,000 were just the men. Philip, he's looking at just this little basket. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. He's looking at a little basket that will just feed a small child. The Bible says it's a lad. We don't know how old the lad was, but just a small portion. And Philip, he's looking at it and he says, what is this among so many? Philip says, I just see the problem, and the only answer I see is just this little basket. But can I tell you, the lad just saw that there's a need. The little boy just saw there's a need, and here's what I have. Let me just give what I have. Children are easily entreated. I've had my own son humble me. I pretend like I didn't have something. He's willing to give what he had so that I didn't have to do without. As a dad, that's opposite of what I feel. I would much rather do without than my son have to do without. Can I tell you, your Heavenly Father's no different. Your Heavenly Father's no different. If you're willing to give what you have, if you're willing to become as a little child, if you're willing to get your eye off of how big the problem really seems and just offer what you... If you're willing to get your eye off of how big the problem really seems, if you're willing to get your eye off of the 5,000 problems around you, the 15,000 problems around you, and just say, God, here's what I have, and I'm willing to give it all, then He will make the difference every time. Every time. Every time He will make the difference. Oh. Oh, God, help us today. Hallelujah. The little boy, he's just willing to give it all. Can I tell you today that Jesus said, unless we receive the kingdom of heaven, unless we are willing to accept the kingdom of heaven like a little child sees it, unless we're willing to take hold of the kingdom of heaven like a little child sees it, then we're not going to make it. That's what Jesus said. Not my words today. Let Jesus preach to you today. Amen. Amen. You and I, we have the privilege of reading the story. And we know what Jesus did. He provided, and there was so much left over that they're taking up baskets of food left because Jesus multiplied 5 little loaves and 2 little fish. But the little boy, at the time of offering, he didn't know the end of the story. You and I, we know the rest of the story. I'm not Paul Harvey today, but we know what the story is. Can I tell you, in our lives, we don't always know the rest of the story. The Bible says that life is but a vapor. It's just a short time. It's just a few days, the Bible said, and full of trouble. I didn't come to preach a doomsday message to you today. I don't know all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed and that He is able to keep all I've committed to Him against that day. I put up my treasures where moth and rust, they cannot corrupt. One day I'm going to leave this whole world, maybe by the way of the grave and maybe by the way of the rapture. But until that time, I've got to be willing to lay it all down without knowing the end of the story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want my wife to come to the piano, please. I'm trying to close here this morning. I want to ask you today, what does the miracle of the 5,000 look like without a little boy offering his lunch? Oh, I feel the presence of God here today. Oh, God, would you help us? What does the miracle of the 5,000 look like without a little boy offering all of his lunch? Brother Wurst, what does the church in Cyprus look like without a Barnabas and Paul to establish it? Let's take it a step further. What does Paul's ministry look like? Because it was Barnabas. When nobody would believe Paul, he still saw, and Barnabas takes his hand and he says, listen, this man, there's been a change in his life. I'm vouching for him. You need to listen to what he has to say. You hear me? This man, he's got the real Holy Ghost. It's Paul. Now he's Paul, and it's because Barnabas took his hand and vouched for him. Can I ask you today, what does the New Testament look like without the writings of Paul? What does our Bible look like today without a Paul in it? What does your neighborhood look like without somebody in it who's got the Holy Ghost and who's willing to tell somebody about the love of Jesus? What does your community look like without somebody who's willing to hand them a church card? Here, come visit me. If you need a ride, call me. New Life Tabernacle, we're having church Sunday morning. What does your family look like without somebody who's willing to make a stand? If it costs me everything, I owe it all to Him Bible says that it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being, and it's his breath in my lungs. It's his breath in my lungs. What does it look like? No, maybe it's not sin. Hear me when I'm preaching today. But if it comes between you and living for God the way you ought to be, maybe the Lord's been dealing with you here today. I'm trying to close. Maybe the Lord's been speaking to you today. I want to take you somewhere you've never been. I want to take you to higher heights. I want to take you to deeper depths. But you're going to have to give up something first. What are you willing to give up to accomplish the will of God in your life? Oh, I got some beautiful vegetables out in my field. That's well and good. But are you willing to give it up to accomplish the will of God in your life? Are you willing to give it all? Would you stand with me today? I'm closing.